called a flash mob, and this was in Belgium, in the train station. It went viral on the internet. And what did you notice? Did you notice some people as they begin to dance? What did the people begin to do? Begin to notice, didn't they? They begin to take notice. Some of them begin to do like this, didn't they? Like probably some of you, as they begin to watch the video, like, what is going on here? Who are they to be so happy in the midst of life? And then some of them begin to, you know, they begin to get their, do you see the ones with the phones, and they're just like looking, punching each other, like, what is going on here? Something unique and amazing is happening here. And then what do you say? They begin to clap their hands a little bit, and they put a smile on their face, didn't it? I mean, they begin to draw into what was happening in the random act that was taking place. And then what do you see? You saw some of them what? They joined in, didn't they? Some of them shouldn't have joined in, but they joined in. And today, as we continue our series on rethink, as Jesus continues in the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 21 through 42. It's a big chunk. It's a big chunk of scripture that we're going to be tackling today. And for that reason, let me just give you something up front. We're not going to read every single verse all the way through. And so I'm going to leave that up to you to go back and read everything. We're going to, as we look at the relationships that Jesus is going to point out, as he steps out of last week was rethinking Christianity, this idea of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that it's not about checking the boxes off. It's not about trying to reach the bar that the Pharisees had set with the 613 laws that they had set. That Jesus, coming out of the Beatitudes, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who really are desperate for God, who realize they're never going to measure up. Jesus saying in the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, listen, my kingdom, what God is doing here is so different. It's so different than what you're used to. It's not the rules and the regulations that the water has to run off your elbows when you wash your hands on Sunday, or you can't pick up a certain weight of fork, or you can't pull a gray hair out on Sunday morning. Jesus is saying, listen, it is about what we talked about last week, was that Christianity, my kingdom, what he's doing is about a relationship, not religion. Listen, I'm going to go on record to say this. Religion is one of the most evil things in the world. It has done more harm in this world than almost anything else. Because it is man-made. It is man's attempt to figure out, how do I get to God? But it's really man's attempt to figure out, how do I make myself God? How do I make myself better? And Jesus is going, just like he's done with everything else, he's going to turn it on its head, and he's going to say, listen, six times he's going to come in here and he's going to say, you heard it said, or this is what you've been taught, or this is what you live, and then he'll turn it on its head and say, but I say. Pretty bold of him. As someone who's just coming onto the scene, is this for some just a teacher, but he's beginning to declare himself as one who has authority to begin to speak into their lives as God. As someone who can say, listen, if you want to know what it's like to have victory in this life, if you want to know what it's like to have the burden lifted off you of the burden of religion, of guilt, of shame, I'm asking you to follow me. Because listen, I'm not going to make the requirements any less. As a matter of fact, as we'll see today, Jesus takes it up a notch. But it's because what he wants to show is that as we look at the relationship we have with God, he wants them to get to the place, just as the disciples did, and said, who then can be saved? Nobody, on their own merit. Only through Jesus, as he is headed to the cross to go and to provide everything that he's saying that he's going to be able to do, as he begins over and over and over to speak about a kingdom, his kingdom, this new thing that he's doing. And he says, listen, to come into this kingdom, he says, it sounds easy, but as we'll see today, it's not. Because what it takes is, it takes a focus off of the outside, which is what the Pharisees were so concerned about and held the standard for so many people. And guess what Jesus was concerned about? So many times Jesus talks about the heart. He says, out of the heart floweth all that a man is, all that a woman is. flows from the inside. It's the part that we can hide, isn't it? What does it say about His Word? It says that we should hide God's Word where? In our heart, so that we might not sin against God. Listen, Jesus wants to know. He said, listen, I came into this world not to make you a better person, but to change your heart. And out of that will flow rivers of life, is what He said, which will begin to change the way you live. Your life will be different. And as we look today, the thing that He's going to focus on, which really for all of us, if we're just honest, the most important thing that we deal with every single day is relationships. I mean, every day we interact with somebody, don't we? I mean, we go to work and we interact with our coworkers. We are at home. Sometimes home is just a mess of relationships. Work is a mess. But ultimately, Jesus is going to deal with the relationships that are in people's lives, because what He wants to drive them back to is that ultimately the thing that will fix those will flow out of the heart, which only God can fix. Only God can fix. Maybe you're here today and you have been on the treadmill of trying to get yourself cleaned up. And you know what? Jesus is going to say some tough things today. And I'm going to tell you, I've prayed a lot this week, because we're going to talk about some things that can seem condemning. But my prayer today is this. My prayer is that we will acknowledge what Jesus says about these things, is saying, listen, you can't do it, but today we can walk out of here. All of us can walk out of here on a fresh way of looking at our lives. So let's look together as we look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. As we talk, kind of the idea that Jesus is saying here, of the video that we just saw, is like last week we talked about the fact that really the Christian life can be somewhat of a dance, and sometimes we don't know how to get into it. But listen, Jesus last week, what did He say? He ended it by saying that we should practice these things, right? Not just know about it, we should put them into practice. He said, blessed are those who put it into practice. And listen, He begins these next chapters to help us to know, how do we put this into practice? What He's saying is, listen, the followers of Me will dance to a different beat. He's saying, if you follow Me, you're going to be like a flash mob, that when you people get around you, they will begin to take notice of you. If you're living your life as a believer and nobody really, when you're there, that they notice that it causes a stir, that there's some kind of difference in your life through your speak, through your actions, all those things, then I'm not sure what to say about that, because our life should, as we already talked about, be light and salt. And Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to go and to dance in the world to a different beat. To be in the world, but to be dancing so that people stop and some will go, who do they think they are living their life like that? Others will go and begin to be encouraged by you. And even others, guess what? They're going to join in. They're going to see your life and they'll want to join in. So let's look, as Jesus tells us, He says, listen, if you want to put these into practice, if you want to fulfill what we talked about last week of rethinking what it means to have a relationship with God, the first thing that Jesus says, He said, listen, way back in the very first part of His sermon, He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus says here in Matthew 5, 21, He says, you've heard that it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. You see, in the context of Jesus going once again, here He is, He's sitting on the hillside surrounded by Pharisees and those who are trying to reach and maintain all these things. And here Jesus is telling a different message. And so Jesus starts by saying, He says, listen, from the Pharisees, from your leaders, you have heard this. You've heard that you shall not murder. And anyone who murders is subject to judgment. All the way back to the original Ten Commandments. You shall not commit murder. And you know what? Jesus said last week, we talked about it, He will fulfill the law, not take away from it. So Jesus says, listen, you've heard of it. You've talked about it. You've heard it said that you shall not murder, and anyone who murders shall be subject to the law. And so what, if you're a Pharisee, if you're someone, and maybe you here today, you can go, check, got that one. I don't know if anybody's murdered here. I don't want to know. Because legally, I'd probably have to turn you in. Sometimes what Jesus is saying here, He said, listen, you've heard it said not to murder. And so many times we can see that and go, well, I got that one, check. But what does Jesus do? He says, He turns it around and he says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. He's saying, listen, you already have a place in line that if you say something like raka, which was the worst Hebrew word that you could say, think of the worst, and don't think of it, I don't want those words in your mind, but some of the four-letter words that exist today in our culture, saying raka was the same. And what Jesus was saying, he said, listen, the Pharisees had put a list together of what are not acceptable words. And as long as you don't say those things, you can just check it off and you can say, listen, man, I'm a good person. I've got it all going on. But Jesus said, listen, he said, it's not about checking the boxes. Because here's what he says. He says, again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. See, once again, Jesus is not focused only on the outside. He's saying, listen, when it comes to the heart, what he understands is this, is that even the insults that we pull on each other are not acceptable. It's not just this list of words. And we all know words that we go, whoo, man, I don't want to say that. That's a bad word. Listen, just like the Pharisees, they had those. But listen, how many of us have said things that have been just as nasty and cutting to people in our lives that do way more damage than four-letter words that we might hear somewhere else? And Jesus is saying, listen, you've got a list of things that you think are acceptable, but then you've got another list that it's okay to say fool, or other words to say you're stupid. Jesus said, listen, you're in the danger of the fires of hell. What is he saying to this? He's saying if you say stupid or fool, you're going to go to hell? No. What he's saying is this. He's saying you've got a list. It's not about the check. It's about the heart. And he's saying, listen, when you are mean and cruel with your words, it is the same as what? Murder. Because it kills. It destroys. I mean, we all like a good cut, right? We really do. I mean, history tells us that Winston Churchill, you know, famous for all his quotes, it said that he got into an elevator one time and he was a little tipsy, as he was known to be, and a lady got on the elevator with him, and she looked at him in disgust and she said, Winston Churchill, you're drunk. He said, ma'am, I might be, but in the morning I'll be sober, but you'll still be ugly. Now, we all laugh. Because we like a good cut, don't we? But the reality is, it hurts, doesn't it? How many of us have not heard the four-letter words that we know we shouldn't say, but how many have been called stupid? Worthless. Loser. Queer. Bag. I'm sure it got real quiet, just like it did now. Listen, we say words sometimes that come out of our mouths that are destructive and murderous and slanderous toward people. See, the reality is Jesus is pointing back. He says, you shall not commit murder. And somebody goes, check, I got that one. And then he turns to him and he goes, yeah, but do you know where murder starts? There are crimes of passion where people are killed in crimes of passion, and typically those people have a somewhat, even in our own court sometimes, have a reason, but for the most part, do you know that murder starts long, way before they ever pull the trigger or stab someone or choke someone or whatever it is? It starts right here. And you know where it starts? It starts with our words. Jesus saying, listen, when it comes to our relationships, we got to rethink it. Rethink what we say. Words are powerful. The Bible says that they give life. Just as Jesus is pointing out, they give death. Listen, parents, I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things or the worst things that you can do for your parent or your child is to begin to speak words of death. You don't know what you're doing. You're stupid. What's wrong with you? Listen, I've been guilty of that one. I wish I could take back every one of those I've ever said to my children. What's wrong with you? Because I'm telling you, and listen, and even in a crowd this size, I know that there are words that people have said to you that stuck in your heart. And many times the devil will bring those up to your remembrance. And Jesus is saying, listen, we can't be that way. Because out of the heart, our heart's going to change. And what we'll begin to do, we want to begin to look at people like God looks at people. To see them, not just on the outside, not just the outward appearance, but in the heart. And so we see that Jesus says, listen, you gotta be a peacemaker. And you gotta speak gently. You gotta speak gently when you speak to people. The other thing Jesus says, he says, listen, when it comes to those relationships and being a peacemaker, you need to settle quickly. We gotta settle things quickly. Listen, when we hide things in our heart, it begins to create a cancer. And Jesus understands this. He says, listen, he says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there at the front of the altar first and be reconciled to them and then come offer your gift. It's so important that we be in right relationships with others, that forgiveness take place, that we not have that destructive thing in our life that, listen, Jesus is giving you a pass that when you are in church, you can get up and leave and go take care of something before you come and even worship him, even with your tithes and offerings. Now listen, if a bunch of you get up at the offering and leave, all right, you're going to be able to get away with it this week, okay? But don't do that unless you really need to. But Jesus is saying, he said, listen, it's so important. He says, if you're offering your gift, if you're coming to worship God, he said, listen, and you've got something hidden in your heart that is there, that is unforgiveness, that is unsettled, a bad relationship, needs to be dealt with quickly. It needs to be taken care of. Jesus says, listen, he says, you need to even leave church early if you need to take care of that. Go and be reconciled is what the word says. Reconciled with that person. And then come back and honor yourself. The reality is that you know, our relationships are changing all the time. That when it comes to doing that, we need to go and to settle things quickly. But he also talks about the fact that we need to stop retaliating. And so we see that we need to speak gently and settle quickly and we need to stop retaliating, because so many times what can happen if someone strikes us, we want to strike back. What does he say in Matthew 5:38-39? He says this. He says, you have heard it said, it was said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Ouch. And I'll be perfectly honest and transparent with you. I struggle with this one. If someone comes after me, my natural tendency is to want to defend myself, to win, to strike back. If someone wrongs me, then man, I want to go and make sure that they know I'm right. Can you relate to this? I know you can. Listen, I'll never forget that my daughters were playing softball. My youngest daughter was playing first base and probably about 9 or 10 years old, and we were playing this other team, and the coach had taught the first baseman that when he caught the ball at first base, he would reach out and tag the person as they went through. But he had not just taught him to tag him, he taught to knock him out as they went through. So I watched half a game, and the more I sat there, the more angry I got. And then my daughter comes up to bat. She hits the ball. She's running to first base. And the first baseman, whack, hits my daughter. And what do you think she did? She starts crying. All right, as a parent at that point, I thought, I've got to defend. I look over and I see the coach and I see that he's laughing. And before I could realize what had happened, I am over in the dugout of the other coach with him pinned up against the fence. I don't even know how I got there. And I'm telling him what I'm going to do to him after the game and how dare he. And then so, you know, they broke us up, and I'm walking back, and I'm walking back, and I go, what just happened? Man, my witness was shot, wasn't it? I mean, I could have yelled back, and Jesus loves you, as I... But Jesus is saying, listen, it's not like that. We're called to be peacemakers. We've heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know what's interesting? Historically, what this was designed to do was to make things fair. If you pop my eye out, then I pop an eye out, and we'd be settled, you know? But what it turned into was this continual cycle of revenge. And listen, the Middle East is full of this. There are blood battles going on because one person did one thing, another person, it just keeps on and on and on. And Jesus is saying, listen, we have to put a stop to this. We have to be about honest about our relationship and the relationship that God has with us, that he's asking us, listen, to turn the other cheek, to be able to be the one who says, you know what, man, I messed up. Man, I'm the one that, I'm sorry. So I was honest about me. What about you? You see, I went back to that coach after the game and had to stand before him and say, you know, man, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was an idiot. And to reconcile. What about you? Is there a face that pops into your head right now of someone that you need to go to, that you need to reconcile, that might be the very thing which is stifling your Christian growth, your spiritual growth with God? Because listen, as long as you don't think about that person, as long as everything's good, but as soon as you hear their name, it's red with anger. Jesus is saying, listen, that heart change has to begin to flow out and begin to say, listen, man, I've got to understand that when it's not an eye for an eye for a tooth, but it's when somebody does something for me, it means I'm the first one to go to them and say, you know what, man, I'm sorry. I don't really know how we got to where we are today, but man, even if you don't forgive me, I just want you to know I'm sorry, I forgive you, and I'm letting it go. Because that anger can be a cancer, and Jesus knew it. You see, the audience that was listening to him, they understood it was all about that eye for an eye. It's all about getting revenge. Jesus said, listen, part of my kingdom is this. It's about grace. It's about mercy. Not about being a floor mat or being walked upon, but being so different that just like we saw, you dance to a different dance. Can you imagine how different it is for someone to say, you know what, you've hurt me, but I just want to come to you and say, listen, I don't know how we got to where we are, but I want to make this right. Wouldn't that blow some people's minds? Wouldn't it make an impact? Dancing to a different dance. And so what do we see? We see that Jesus, he says, listen, he says, you need to be a peacemaker. But he also goes on in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, and he says, listen, he says, you need to be a promise keeper when it comes to relationships. Not only did Jesus address the relationships all around us, but then he goes specifically into one of the issues that was prevalent in their day, and he talked about the marriage relationship. Some of you aren't married here today, but maybe you will be. Jesus is addressing how important this relationship is. And here's what he says. He says, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her inner heart. You see, in Matthew 5:28, in 5:27, he says that we should not commit adultery. Many of the folks would have just been like, check. I've never physically touched another lady. I've never slept with somebody else. But Jesus, he says, listen, it's not about checking that box. It's about this. He says that I tell you that anyone who looks at another woman. Now, ladies, you're not off the hook. He's talking to the men here, but he's talking to us even today as ladies, that is, if you look at a man lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her or him in your heart. And so the list checkers felt justified, didn't they? They said, listen, I haven't done that. I haven't murdered. I haven't committed adultery. And Jesus says, no, no, no. Listen, it goes back to that ever-important relationship with God, the heart change, flowing from the inside out. And he says, listen, if you've just looked at a woman, you are committing adultery. And you're like, now, wait a minute. Does this mean we have to be like the blind and bruised ones? Remember them from a couple of weeks ago? They bound their eyes and they bumped into things because they didn't even want to be tempted. No. Listen, the Greek word here for looks is a continuous word. It's in the active sense. And what that means is it's not just a glance. It's not just noticing. It is checking them out and beginning to lustfully fantasize within your own mind. What does it mean? It means you take it in and you take ownership. Is temptation a sin? No. Have you ever thought about the fact that if temptation was a sin, then Jesus sinned? What does it say in all the Gospels? Gospel of Mark, it says that after his baptism, he was called out by the Holy Spirit out into the desert for 40 days, and it says there he was tempted. It's not the noticing. Listen, God made us sexual creatures, didn't he? God made us so that we are attracted to the opposite sex. And when someone walks in the room, whether it be male or female, either way, the good chances are you're going to notice. What Jesus is saying here is this. It's not the fact that you go through and you fulfill some act with him. He's saying, listen, it is when you begin to look and you begin to own that thought. Not just the noticing, but it's when you don't look away to guard your heart, you begin to look and pull it into your heart. It becomes your thought, your fantasy, your sin. That's when it becomes a problem. Listen, today's times are so difficult. Not only are there people that, you know, dress certain ways, but listen, with the internet these days, it is so easy. And we, especially men, being visual creatures, get pulled in so easily. We have to, listen, take this verse today and realize that, listen, we've got to guard our heart because Jesus is saying, listen, if you just look, listen, he's saying, stay away. Realize that it's not just a physical act, but it is an act taking place in the heart that is just as dangerous and just as sinful. And listen, no act of adultery ever just happens. You don't wake up one day and go, you know, I think I'm going to go cheat on my wife. Where does it start? Jesus understood perfectly. It starts in the heart and ultimately comes through the mind. And over time, if you pour enough of that stuff in, it will begin to get to the point to where you act on it. You know, this past week, we were at the Johnny Hunt Men's Conference talking about forgiveness, but he's dealt a lot with sin. One of the things that I took away from there was this. Sometimes we think we can control our sin, but we can't. Now, with Jesus living in us and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can resist it. But I'm going to tell you what, if I invite it in, if you invite it in, guess what begins to happen? We think, well, it's not hurting anybody. I can control it. You cannot control it. It is like a cancer. It is like something that begins to go. And the more you bring that in, the warning signs begin to fall down, and suddenly you find yourself doing things you never imagined that you would do. Jesus said, listen, you can say you don't commit adultery, but if you do it in your heart, eventually, you're already committing adultery, but eventually you will lead to something that you never thought you would do. Starts right here in the heart when it comes to those relationships. I remember we were on a mission trip to Sales, Arizona. And there's an Indian reservation down there. And, you know, they have cows and all kinds of stuff there. And it's a little bit of a rough place to live and to minister. But I remember there was one supermarket that was there. And every time we would go there, there'd be cows in the parking lot. And I'm just like, how do cows get to the local supermarket? I started thinking about it. You know, they started in the pasture, didn't they? And they, what do cows do? They follow what? Follow grass, don't they? Cows aren't real smart, by the way. I don't know if you know that. But literally, it's one nibble at a time, and before you know it, the cow is in a place he shouldn't be. It's no different for me or for you. We begin to nibble upon those things that Jesus is saying, listen, that's not going to be good for our relationships, not what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's not just about the outward, but it's about the heart. And so we read in Matthew 5:31 as he continues about being a promise keeper. He says, it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. See, Jesus acknowledges that even back in Deuteronomy, when Moses was giving, understanding, God understanding that there were going to be problems in the marriage, God allowed, not based on what he wanted to do, but based because it was something that was just a reality, a divorce. And he said, listen, you've heard it said that divorce is a part of your culture, that it's something that God has put together. He says, you've heard it said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. This was based upon the writings of the Old Testament. You see, what's interesting, we have an issue with an epidemic of divorce in this country. Even in Christian homes now, it's over 50%. Do you know that even back some 2,000 years ago when Jesus was writing this, that it was probably even greater than today? What was amazing was is that men and women had, different relationships back then. Women weren't really highly esteemed in the marriage relationship. And so literally the Pharisees, on top of what God had already allowed, had added all these statutes, and men had these divorce papers that they could serve on their wife for things such as they burn the bread. You think I'm kidding? Some of you are thinking, my marriage wouldn't have lasted a week. There were things that, listen, if they just didn't do something right, they could issue this divorce and say, done. And so Jesus, listen, what I'm about to read is really one of the most, I don't say controversial, but tough teachings that Jesus gives, because it's about the marriage relationship. And listen, we sit in a room full of people that live in a society where, listen, the core of the family is different than it's ever been. The nuclear family is not what it used to be. A mom and a dad and 2.5 kids. I don't know where that half came from, but it's not the same. But it wasn't the same when Jesus. And so Jesus says, listen, he says, you've heard it said that you have a certificate of divorce. He says, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
Wow.
Just let that sink in for a minute. That's tough. Jesus is teaching something radically new. It made them stop in their tracks because they were issuing these things like the mail. And Jesus saying, listen, God has allowed divorce, but it is not his ideal. See, Jesus was saying, you've got the outward appearance. You've got the box to check off. Okay, she burned the bread. Divorce, I'm good. She said, no. You have taken something that God put together and you have changed it. You see, Jesus takes them back to the beginning. Jesus is saying, listen, you need to understand the sacredness that God thinks about marriage. The beauty of God bringing together two people. And yes, Jesus said, listen, we understand that things happen, but listen, it's not what God ever designed. God never wants a single divorce to happen. What is he saying? He's teaching a new thing that even his disciples struggle with, living in that culture. You see, God knew there'd be breakdowns in marriages.
But it wasn't his ideal. You see, Jesus is not saying divorce is okay. Jesus is saying, listen, in my kingdom, when it comes to the heart, we're going to take it back to the way that God designed it. Elevating marriage to where it should be. Matthew 19, 4, 6, later, as Jesus is teaching, here's what he says. He says, haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. And this last part, therefore what God has joined together, let no one separate. Jesus is taking it back to the beginning. So the reality is, and even in the church, it has become acceptable that somehow along the way that marriage is just expendable. That if you get together, that for whatever reason, it's just okay to part. And listen, Paul, in his writings, he addresses some things that go along with divorce. And talks about the fact of abandonment and cheating and all those things. And listen, there are some times where, in my opinion, it makes sense just for the safety of the person, it's best for them to split apart. But listen, I think what Jesus is saying here, according to his own words, is that when it comes to marriage, man, marriage, it matters. He's taking it all the way back to that marriage vow. And if you're married here today, listen, let me tell you something. The marriage relationship is important to God. I don't know where you are in your relationship. You may be struggling. You may be going through some things. But here's what I want you to know. That God put you together. That commitment that was there. And no matter what is happening in your life, listen, God is for you, and you can work through it. Jesus is saying, listen, don't just discard somebody. He's saying, listen, it's over. I'm done. Let me just write you a writ of divorce. But it is something together. Now, listen, I can see it on some of your faces. You're thinking, huh, well, I'm divorced. Or I've been divorced. What do I do now? Well, let me just encourage you. You know, we can't change the past, can we? But here's what Jesus is saying, even to the people that are listening, because you know they're in the same thing. And he said, listen, moving forward today, there is a new way of thinking about this. There is a new way. Listen, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the fact that, listen, God is coming to make things new. So that even in your current situation, in your whether you're divorced and remarried, listen, God is saying, listen, not guilt and condemnation, but there is forgiveness. There is a covering of those sins so that from this day forward, you begin to view things differently. To rethink marriage. For those of you who are divorced and maybe you're thinking about marriage, listen, this, what Jesus is saying is think long and hard about it because it's important. It's important. Maybe there's somebody here today and you guys have been talking about divorce. I just want to tell you, God is never for that. Never for it. So moving forward, starting today. And so what do we see? We see that Jesus said, listen, you got to be a promise keeper. When it comes to being a follower of me, man, I want you to let your word be true, which is the next thing. And he says, listen, he says, you need to be a plain speaker. You need to speak plainly. Matthew 5, 37, here's what it says. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Listen, Jesus says you need to say what you're going to say and mean it. We're not going to get into this week. Next week, you need to come back because we're going to look at this passage again and talk about rethinking honesty. It's so perfect as we head into tax season. I don't know why we need to rethink honesty. But you want to come back next week. So we're just going to touch on that, but we're going to move on. And the next thing that Jesus says is this. In Matthew 5, 43 through 44, he says, to me, I think this is sums it up. He says, you need to be a people lover. When it comes to your relationships, you need to have the heart of God. Your heart needs to reflect. It says this. He says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's tough. It's a tough teaching. I mean, we all have some conflict, right? We all have an ex-spouse or a boss or a neighbor or a family member or whoever it is. There's somebody in our life that we have some conflict with. As a matter of fact, I want you to picture that person right now. Somebody you might have conflict with. I want you to get their picture in your mind. And with that in mind, I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. And we should pray for them. Do you realize it's hard to hate somebody when you pray for them? Over time, God will begin to soften our heart. We'll begin to dance to the beat of a different drummer. Man, it's so radically different what God is calling us to. A life of following Him that goes counterculture to what's happening. Like being in a train station in the middle of a busy thing and then beginning to sing and dance a song that makes people stop and notice. When we pray for our enemies, listen, it does something not only for them, but it begins to soften and change our heart. Because do you realize? I really thought about this. Do you realize in the book of John, chapter 16, Jesus begins to pray for us? He prays for his disciples, and he prays for us. And do you know at the time when he prayed that, guess what we were to him? Enemies. We were opposed. See, if there was anybody who ever had a right not to extend love, grace, and mercy, it was Jesus. See, Jesus is setting up this mindset and heart change. He said, listen, man, you've heard it said that when somebody does something to you, you go after them. But I'm going to tell you, turn the other cheek. I'm going to tell you, pray for them. Because in doing so, you become the salt and the light that I just talked about. Living your life so differently that people begin to notice. And they'll be the ones in the video who begin to go, and they'll stand and go, who do they think they are living like that? There'll be some that begin to smile and be drawn in, and then there'll be some who join in. Drawn in because of our witness to Christ. And so why do we do any of this? And then we'll close. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says this. Jesus ends by saying, this little section, says that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He said, because he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Isn't it interesting how God treats his enemies? This beautiful day that we're going to experience today, God allows not only his children to experience, but those who are far from him. And do you know why? It's because of his love and his grace and his mercy and his patience. Because you know what? Listen, we may struggle with people, but God loves everyone. It is God's desire that they come to a relationship with him. Listen, he says, listen, you live this way, you do this thing because you are my children. You do this because of your relationship with me. You do this because I am changing you from the inside out. And in doing so, I put you into a world that I am even blessing today because the sun shines on the just and the unjust, because that's how God treats people. God wants them to come to a relationship with him. Because one day he understands that separate from him, they will reap what they're going to sow. And that is his judgment. So what is all this to us? Where are you at today in the dance? Are you one of the ones that is randomly just living Christ out in front of others every day in such a way that it causes a stir? Maybe you're the ones on the sideline kind of clapping your hands. looking in. Maybe some of you are actually standing on the sideline scowling. Who do they think they are? I don't know. But Jesus is saying, I want you in the dance. I want you to live your life so differently, your relationships so amazingly, that when you go back and reconcile, when you live your life, when you do all these things, people begin to take notice. And ultimately what will begin to happen is that those will begin to join in with us. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. And you're just running that wheel by yourself. Today can be a day that you could come and start a conversation about how to change that relationship, how to come to know Christ in a real and amazing way. And so we're gonna open up we're gonna go into an invitation, and down here is an area called a prayer area. You can do it in your seat if you like. But listen, I don't know what's going on with you in your relationship today. Maybe you need to come down here and pray for your spouse. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you need to begin to pray for, that it's just been that person that you just cannot forgive. We're going to open it up, and whatever God's going to do, you just let him do it. I'm going to pray, and when I'm done praying, that's your opportunity. Listen, man, Jesus wants your heart. He doesn't want your actions. He wants you to surrender. So many times we have to get all that other stuff out of the way. Today can be a day where we just surrender our heart to Jesus and ask him to help us as we live out the things that he has given us in our relationships. Let's pray together. And I'm going to be right down here if you need to pray with somebody. Let God do his work today. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we thank you for your word. God, we've covered a lot today. God, I know you can take these words. You can change hearts. God, I pray for our relationships, God, for our marriage relationships, for our family relationships, but ultimately our relationship with you, Father. I pray that, God, we would be open to what you're doing in each of those areas. God, we love you. I pray for every person here, for myself. God, that our hearts will be open to you. In Jesus' name.